Early Monday morning, the United States Navy reported a warship, the USS John McCain, was involved in a collision with a freighter off the coast of Singapore. 10 sailors were originally missing. Some of those remains were found today. This is the fourth crash involving a Navy ship in Asian waters in a year. Just 2 months ago, 7 sailors died when the USS Fitzgerald crashed with a container ship off the coast of Japan. Yesterday, leadership announced a one-day operational pause across the entire U.S. Navy. With us is Sam Tangredi, professor of National, Naval, and Maritime Strategy at the Center for Naval Warfare Studies of the U.S. Naval War College. He's been through the Strait of Malacca many times during his career as a naval officer.
To give you a comparison, traveling along the Strait of Malacca would be like traveling down in your car in a highway with no barrier in between the two directions, no lines whatsoever, and having traffic also try to cross from left to right. And then the vessels that are traveling along this highway, if they slam on their brakes, so to speak, require at least 3 or 4 exits before they're able to turn. So you'd be slamming on your brake 3 exits before where you wanted to stop. And that's the situation there. The Strait of Malacca is approximately 500 nautical miles long. In one section, the narrowest section is around Singapore, which is about 10 miles wide. Now, that would seem like a fairly wide distance, but when you have about 300 major ships trying to cross the strait in a day, it gets very tight.
But it's fair to say that between actual physical eyes on the water and the technical backup, this kind of thing isn't supposed to happen, right?
Absolutely not supposed to happen. When I think about accidents like that, I wonder how hard has the crew been working? McCain just conducted freedom of navigation ops near the islands that the Chinese are building in the South China Sea to stake their claim to the South China Sea. At the time, I'm sure much of the crew had to be awake. I wonder after that how tired or fatigued the crew is. That might be a contributing factor. I don't know.
Of course, there'll be an inquest into how this happened. When you move into inquest mode, is everything that's happening and has happened on a ship so well documented that you can actually assemble the situation that was in play at the time of the collision?
Well documented in the same sense that human beings could document themselves, but there are written documents, that is, written logbooks that certain watchstanders have. You also have electronic means of monitoring what was seen on the radar and also possibly what orders were given to the engines. But it's really tough to figure out what every single person was doing at any one time. So as far as assembling information, a lot of it relies very much on testimony, witness testimony, that is, people describing what they saw or what their experience was.
This pause of naval operations is an unusual event. Does this signal that the Navy thinks that there may be something systemically wrong with the way people are trained or deployed or the toolkit for keeping an eye on the ocean in heavily trafficked areas?
That may be so. That may be part of what they're thinking. There's also a whole bunch of different theories. One of my colleagues at the Naval War College, Professor Chris Demchak, who's a specialist in cyber warfare, immediately said, is it possible that some of the electronic navigation systems, not necessarily on the Navy warship, but on the merchant ships, were affected or hacked into? And we have no idea, way of knowing, but that's a possibility. So I don't know if that's a factor, but I think that's one of the things that the Navy's also looking into, but quietly.
Sam Tangredi joined us. He is a professor of National, Naval, and Maritime Strategy at the Center for Naval Warfare Studies of the U.S. Naval War College. Professor Tangredi, thanks for joining us on The Takeaway.
Thank you.